I have found that if we go back as far as we can into early childhood and look at the transgressors that were present then, we come to understand that really those first few years of life set us off on a path. And we have root transgressors that are early childhood transgressors that have continued to show up in different ways throughout our lifetime. And until we detune the root, we're probably going to see those other transgressors keep showing up.
Hi, my friend. I'm Sabrina, your host of the Cultivating Curiosity podcast. You're listening to season 3, which is focused on getting curious about spiritual evolution because us humans are ready to go beyond, beyond what our 5 senses can comprehend, beyond the logic and reasoning of our minds. We just need some guidance, which is where this podcast comes in. Every episode is inspired by my very own deep questions related to spiritual awakening. And my hope is through my own curiosity, both you and I will uncover an aspect of ourselves we always knew was there. It just needed to be awakened. Are you ready? The man you just heard speak a moment ago is David Strickle. David is a best-selling author, podcast host, retreat leader, and spirit channel. Ever since David was a child, he has received downloads of universal wisdom that he has coined as the stream. These downloads of wisdom are lessons that have helped David overcome a turbulent childhood and live his fullest life today. Now he is working with others to help people overcome what he calls abundance blocks through a practice he and the stream co-created called the Taya practice. Goodness, David and I talked about so many things today, so where do I even begin? We talk about the law of attraction, the famous channel Esther Hicks, and how she inspired David with his own channeling experience, consistent lessons that the stream downloads into David, and we end by talking about how we can get to the root of unwanted patterns that play on repeat in our lives and take back our own power. Power is the word that keeps coming to mind when reflecting back on this amazing conversation. David has faced a lot of adversity in his life, but he has chosen time and time again to view these adversities with gratitude for what they have taught him in this life. We have the choice every day to feel like we are the victim or we are the creator of our own story. If you are starting this episode feeling like the victim, I hope by the end of it, David has shown you that you have the power within you to reclaim your life. I really love having male guests on my show who are spiritual because, A, I feel like you don't come across too many of you guys out there. And B,
that's true.
Yeah. And it also provides such a different perspective. I mean, most of my guests on the show have been women. And from my experience, women tend to be a little more spiritual than men naturally. So when I get a man on the show who is also spiritual, it's fascinating for me to hear their perspective on spiritual evolution. So I'm just so excited to talk to you today. That's my long-winded way of saying I'm excited to talk to you. So David, you say since you were a child that you've been experiencing downloads of thought, and that's in quotation marks, downloads of thought from the universe, essentially. Can you explain to us what that is?
I really don't know how better to explain the fact that I had this thing when I was a kid that I referred to as my knowing. Over time, I sort of just said I had this knowing. And of course, when I was a young child, I just thought everybody had it. And then I realized that I was different. And I didn't want to be different. I wanted to be one of the cool kids. So I really kept it hidden. But I did have a really deep understanding just of how the world works at a very adult perspective about things as a child. And when I moved into my teenage years, I started to become very, very aware of what we might now call the law of attraction. Because I had this knowing, I could really understand what made people tick, sort of what the whole meaning of life was about. Very early on. But even with all that knowledge, of course, I'm still a human being. And my focus was very much on, if I have this knowing, how do I get rich with it?
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Because when you grow up poor, and your cousins and your, I had a half sister and cousins that were all sort of what you call upper middle class or even wealthy. They all had the fun stuff. They were going to Disney and they were going off ski trips and they had new cars when we were teenagers and my brother and I were having to wear their hand-me-down clothes and we were having to work. Our life existence, as a child and as a teenager was just different than the people that were around us. And so I really wanted to focus on, okay, I understand that we create our reality. I really want to focus on just having money, because that's the key to happiness.
Obviously, so right?
Yeah, of course it is. Everybody knows that, right? So in 1982, a long, long, long time ago, I was 14 years old, and I remember telling my older brother, Doug, about this. And I didn't know it was called Law of Attraction. I never heard of that. I actually thought it was something I kind of invented. And I said, I've got this really cool thing that when I start thinking of something in a positive way, it actually happens. It materializes. And he thought I was nuts. So he didn't really follow suit with that, but I did. And so by the time I was a teenager, I was starting to manifest material stuff, especially a little bit of money, but more materially. And I really held on to that throughout my 20s and 30s that, hey, this is really cool. I can make myself have money and opportunities, and I can will myself to do and be things and have experiences and all of this. And it's fantastic. And I really spent those two decades focused on that. But the decade of my 30s was not a happy decade, because I was actually making the money and living in the fancy house and driving the great cars and doing all the things that I thought I was supposed to do to be happy. And I was coming to terms with the fact that I wasn't happy. I had all of this stuff, all of this baggage from childhood that was really weighing me down. My father had left when I was 6. My mother was very disconnected. She never wanted to have children in the first place. So she fought for custody to spite our father, and then turned and did not want to parent us. So from age 6 on, I was kind of left to my own devices. And that created a rocky childhood, definitely. Also, the relationship with my mother just really deteriorated in my teens, and it got really, really nasty. And at one point, she told me to commit suicide.
Mother saying that—that's heartbreaking.
I never gave her a Mother of the Year mug.
No, she doesn't sound like she deserves it.
Yeah, well, she was not prepared or even desiring to have kids, right? So that was my experience with my mother. So I get out, I realize that, okay, just because she is not wanting me around and not loving me doesn't mean that there's not love. So I had to create my own love, right? And that creation of my own love was for a while expressed in manifesting materially. And that was sort of how I figured out life. And I got into my 20s. I started my own business at 19. Got into my 20s. I became very successful financially. Moved into my 30s. And the 30s was really when things started, kind of the pain of my childhood really started to start showing up. And it manifested in me being about 300 pounds at that point. I had an addiction to OxyContin. I was in a non-functioning relationship. And I remember walking around my beautiful home one day, seeing all of these beautiful things, because I had all the stuff that I was supposed to have to be happy. And I remember the moment when it hit me that I'm not happy. You know, I like the stuff. It's nice. You know, I can smile when I see this, and I like my car, and, you know, et cetera. But I'm not happy. This isn't everything I thought it was going to be. So I really went inward at that point. And that was around the point that I was really coming to terms with what my knowing was. And I had gone to see psychics, and I went to see this amazing psychic in Casadega, Florida. Her name was Hazel Burley. And she told me that I was a channel. I had no idea what that was. And she said, you are a channel. You need to follow. She was really trying to guide me toward Abraham Hicks. And this is before Abraham exploded on the level that, you know, Abraham is now. But she was really trying to guide me toward that. And I was very resistant to it. I didn't want any part of it. So that knowing was just something that these quote unquote downloads of thought would just drop into my mind. And I just knew things that I shouldn't have known. And I came to realize they weren't just coming from me. It wasn't just my ego or my intellect. It was something beyond that.
So I have a question for you, David, really quick, because you say you were having these downloads of thought as a child and you just knew things other kids didn't know at the time. What did that look like for you? And what was your reaction the first time it happened to you? Because I can imagine it was overwhelming and pretty freaky.
I had a keen awareness of ego. And so when I could see people that were sort of operating in their ego, I understood what that was. That was sort of them expressing their humanness and not their source connection is how I would describe it now. Of course, at that point, I didn't have that language, but I understood ego very, very well. And I understood that humans do things to soothe or boost their ego. And a lot of our actions in life are rooted in that. I understood that very, very early on. So it really helped me navigate childhood. You know, I had the childhood, you know, I was a chubby little kid from a divorced home. No one was paying attention to me, you know, and I had to deal with bullies and stuff like that early on. And I developed these skills where I came to understand that the people that were bullying me were doing that to soothe their own feelings about themselves. And I just knew that. So I had that level of understanding as a child. I also felt something else that I've always had is I have always felt this level of this layer of protection around me. Like, I am not perfect, certainly, but I am able to navigate any situation and be okay. There is a protective energy around me that I feel, and I don't think that's exclusive to me. I'm just aware of it, and I allow it. So that protective energy and that understanding of ego are the two things that I can pinpoint from childhood that I understood very early on that I've carried all the way through to today, and I'm 53 today.
Are you loving the stories and content being shared on this podcast? If so, I have some good news for you, my friend. I created a 14-lesson audio course that compiles the stories shared on this podcast. I'm not just retelling the stories, though. I am pulling golden nuggets of wisdom and tools from these stories that pertain to bettering your physical, mental, and spiritual health. I am a believer in balance, and I believe in order to live your best life, balance in these three areas is key because the mind, body, and spirit connection is real. Oh, and I almost forgot the best part. Each lesson in this course is no more than 10 minutes long, so it's an easy listen while you're taking the dog on a walk or finishing up some dishes. If you like listening to podcasts, I know you're going to like listening to this course. So what are you waiting for? Head to the show notes of this episode to access a direct link to my course on Listenable titled The Guide to Living Your Best Life, Mind, Body, and Spirit. Don't forget to use the code Sabrina Parati for 30% off. Happy listening. So that like just elevated wisdom and knowing that you had as a child that most other kids probably were not on the same level as you. So you had this elevated knowing and it evolved into this law of attraction excitement, you know, going into your teens. And then when you kind of hit, I want to say rock bottom in your 30s, the experience you were just discussing, was that when you kind of referred back? Like, I'm just curious how you said, okay, I wanted to go inward, like in this dark moment in your life. What led you to, okay, I need to look inward now and kind of unpack this knowing I've always had since a child?
Yeah, that's a great question because I reached this point where I was very well aware that there was more available to me than I was listening to. I was being very stubborn, really doubling down on this human idea that enough money will fix everything. And so even though I could have gone a lot deeper into all of it, there was a lack, there was a fear and a judgment around going so deep into my source connection that I no longer cared what anyone else thought. That was the big thing. I didn't want to be judged for being spiritual. I didn't want to be judged for, you know, I don't want to be one of those weird people. And I had all these preconceived, you know, ideas of what a spiritual person is and what a spiritual teacher is. You know, I sort of had this metaphysical bookstore, you know, with beads and this guy with a ponytail sitting behind the beads with a crystal ball reading cards. And I thought, gosh, I don't want to be that. You know, I want to be Mr. Corporate Executive and live in the big house and drive the nice car. And I still like that stuff. I still like the material stuff. I do. But I realize that it is not the key to happiness. And it is not all that we're here for. It's a slice of what we might be here for if that's our preference. But there's nothing wrong with liking that stuff either. So I still like that stuff. But it's not nearly as important as it used to be, because I realized that there was no amount of stuff that was going to fix me. There was no amount of stuff that was going to make me truly, deeply love myself. Even though I had this level of love that got me, you know, through life and through a difficult childhood, there was still not, it was not a full embracing of self. So catalyst for me is that I got into my 30s, got through my 30s into my early 40s, and that's sort of the age that you start thinking, okay, you know, I'm 40 years old. This could be halfway. If I live to be 80, that life is half over. What do I want the rest of my life to look like? And you see people in their 40s and 50s really thinking this way, because you really start to shift your priorities in these decades. So in my very early 40s, that's when I had the realization that I couldn't ignore the wholeness of what was being offered to me anymore, because I was really wanting to teach it to other people. But then I realized, you know, I kind of need to teach more of it to myself first. And I did that. You know, I used my quote unquote knowing, which I by then knew was channeling, to work on me. And I did end up listening to some Abraham material years after I was guided to from the psychic. And in doing so, it was like hearing someone else speak exactly what I've been getting my whole life. It was so magical for me. And I gave it a lot of power. And I started meditating for the first time ever. And very early on in my meditation practice, I had what you would call a Kundalini awakening. And I wasn't chanting. I wasn't in a posture. I was sitting in my easy chair in my living room in Bellevue, Washington, just quieting my mind and doing a little breath work. And I had this eruption of energy at the base of my spine. And the best way I can describe that is it electrified me. And that electrification is still present today. So that was over 10 years ago at that point. So when that happened, I really started to pay attention. And I really started going deep into the knowing. And when I went really deep into it, I came to realize that the material things were just this illusion of the human physical experience. And it's something that we're here to experience. So there's nothing wrong with it, but it wasn't going to give me what I was truly looking for. It wasn't going to take me to that highest level of love of self and really allowing all of this to flow. And I allowed that full message to guide me. And I really changed my life. I got out of a 20-year non-functioning relationship. I got into shape for the first time in my adult life. I got off of OxyContin. The last frontier for me was getting out, materially, was getting out of my corporate job. And that took time because I was holding on to that idea because I had a very high-paying corporate job. And I had this idea that, gosh, you know, I'm in my 40s. I'm right in the prime of my career. I can't walk away from this right now. I'm making too much money, blah, blah, blah. So I really talked myself out of that last, you know, leap of faith of abundance. But through that process, it was very much about going back into my past and finding appreciation for all of it, all of it. My mother was job one, you know, the woman that not only did she tell me to kill myself when I was a teenager, when I was 24, by the time I got to, when I was 19, I started my own business. So between 19 and 24, I started helping her out financially and buying things for her. And I remodeled her apartment. I bought her a dog and all this. And we sort of became friends. We never had a mother-son relationship, but we became friendly. And I'd moved off to Atlanta and I decided to come out to her as a gay man. And when I came out to her at 24, she hung up the phone and would not take my calls for a year. And then a year later, I called her back again and she just said, "You're dead to me. You know, I never want to hear from you again." And we never spoke to her. We never spoke again. And she lived for another 20 years. She didn't pass until 2014. So we never spoke again. That was it. So I had all of that to appreciate. And I realized that when I go into appreciation of her as she is, because I already had that ego sensibility about me, right? I understood that there was something deeply, I don't want to say wrong, but something deeply disturbed in her that caused her to behave that way toward me. It was all about her. So part of that detuning was done. It was sort of like forgiveness, you know, that the vibration of forgiveness is you've done something bad to me, but I'm going to get over it and let you off the hook and move on. But it wasn't enough. I had to actually go find appreciation. So I dug deep in my meditation to appreciation of her being the perfect mother, being exactly the mother my soul intended to have in this experience, so that I could allow these abilities to really step forward, so that I could be the person that I am today. And I have to tell you, Sabrina, when I got to that level of appreciation of her, she had already crossed over at this point. I started experiencing her in my dreams. And in my dreams, I was experiencing the version of her that she never was while she was alive, but I knew she always wanted to be. She didn't have kids. This version did not have children. She was this happy woman living in this lakefront home with, and she always loved poodles. So she had all these little poodles running around. She was really into clothes. So she was looking at her clothes and she was so joyous in that state. That is now my version of my mother. That was sort of my human creation of my mother in her now state, which is completely at peace. So that is detuning, and that is a major part of part of what we teach is this detuning process. And I started using it in business, but I realized I could only use it so much in business. You know, when you're working in a corporate environment, you can't start talking to people about their childhood and mother and all that. Right? So I
really no, it's like an HR nightmare, probably.
Right. I would have been an HR nightmare for sure. So I really focused on helping people be financially successful. I was training people to earn a lot of money in commission sales at this point. And I was really successful doing that. And I love taking people. My specialty was interior designers, and a lot of interior designers don't earn a lot of money. And I loved that I could take an interior designer and teach them business skills that allowed them to do the thing they love to do and earn money. And I had somebody, I had several people that actually started their own companies, one of which is my best friend. She still has her own successful business to this day. But I had a woman selling furniture in a store, earning $500,000 a year selling furniture,
if you can imagine.
Yeah. Wow. So I loved that aspect that I can help these people be financially abundant, but in corporate, that's it. That's all you could do. And you would hear people struggling in their challenge. A lot of people were going through all sorts of things in their personal lives, and I couldn't touch any of that. And it became very frustrating. So I decided to write a book. And in writing my first book, I started learning about the publishing business. You know, it's not as easy as people think it is. You've got to have a platform. You've got to have a following, you know, all these other things to even have your book purchased by anyone. So I started the Stream of David podcast really to market the book before it was published, but then the podcast took off and became its own thing. And in the midst of all of this, I taught myself how to speak my knowing. So the knowing was always dropping in, but when I decided I wanted to share this with the world, I realized, okay, I've got this knowing, but how do I allow it to flow in such a way that people can interact? That is where Abraham came in for me and became very inspiring. I don't know if you followed or if you know who Abraham Hicks is.
I've heard. Yeah, I haven't followed a lot of his work, but
she actually Abraham is channeled by Esther Hicks.
Okay.
And she made channeling palatable for me, because up until then, when someone told me that I was a channel, I googled channeling, and it was freaky. You know, like these people shaking and they're twitching. I'm like, I don't want to be a part of that. You know, that's not what I'm getting. I just get this knowing and it's just there.
Really quick, David, I have to stop you. When you say knowing, I'm trying to dive into this a little bit more. What exactly is that knowing? Like, what type of information is the stream downloading into you?
I would describe it as a deep understanding of universal law. And as that applies to humanity in this case, because I'm experiencing the earth environment as a human being, just like everybody else that's in earshot here that we know of, right? We're human beings and we're having this life experience, and this knowing provided a deep understanding of universal law for me. And so on any topic, I could apply my understanding of universal law on any topic. That doesn't mean that I did it automatically. I'm still a human being. I could still hear that we're going to war with another country and be upset by it and triggered by it, certainly, especially back before I really had this practice going that I've got now. But I could come around to a universal law understanding of it, sort of what I would call a source perspective of it. And I do believe we all have some version of that coming to us. We just have been taught to not listen to it and drown it out. But for me, it was very pronounced and very detailed, I think, because I was left alone in my childhood, and that was my survival technique, was to rely on this. So in teaching myself to channel, being inspired by Esther Hicks' channeling of Abraham, when you watch Esther Hicks channel Abraham, it's just like a person standing up speaking wisdom. And it wasn't freaky, it wasn't weird, at least it wasn't to me. And so that, I really came to terms with what channeling could be. And so I taught myself to move into this vibrational space where I can get that knowing and speak it in real time and converse and answer questions. And if you go to my YouTube channel, there's tons and tons and tons of videos of me doing that on there. And people, you can tell the difference between what I call the stream and me, but the stream is this knowing being shared through me. So that's the way I can describe it. And if you've never heard of channeling before, it sounds nuts. I get that. It sounds crazy. But we all have intuition. So think about it like that. It's your intuition. Those great ideas, those solutions, that clarity, especially when you're not looking for it. Like, have you ever done something I always say, if you're like going, if you drive a car, if you're out on a long drive in the country and you're just driving and driving and driving, and all of a sudden these amazing things just pop into your mind. Or if you really enjoy taking a hot shower and you're in there and great ideas start flowing and you're like, gosh, you know, I wish I had a whiteboard in here, right? That is a higher vibrational state of being just because you're relaxed. And that is our natural state of being. And we naturally have that intuition flowing. So I love to talk about clarity. Clarity is my favorite manifestation there is at this point. Because when you are frustrated or confused or angered or hurt by something, and then you allow yourself to kind of step away from the topic, you'll notice that clarity on that topic will just drop into your mind sometimes. Like, ah, you know, I didn't think about this before. I'm seeing it differently. Now that I'm not in the moment, you know, now that I'm not hurt or angry or scared or anything like that, now that I'm out of it, I'm seeing it so differently now. Have you ever had that?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. It's kind of like stilling the turbulent waters, you know, like if it's kind of just like stilling everything, like becoming still and looking at it from an objective point of view.
Exactly. And that's what I call source. So I believe source is in all of us. It's not some special gift that one person has and one person doesn't. I don't consider it personally. I do not assign it to a deity. I don't think it's anything that's looking to be worshiped or obeyed or anything like that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that if that's your thing. But that clarity of source is that creative side of our consciousness. And I do believe that that is a collective consciousness and that it is eternal, but it's not a religion and it's not a set of rules and it's not a human-like identity. It's just source. That's why I like that general term of source. And we all have that connection. So when I channel, I'm channeling source. I'm getting my vibration to a space where I'm completely at peace. I'm loving the moment. I'm very relaxed. I'm not looking for anything. And then it starts to flow. And I can have a conversation with someone. And there are things that are shared from me in that state that I know are not coming from me. And one of the unique things that I do on the Stream of David, for those that do follow Abraham, you just get Abraham. You get a little bit of Esther. She'll come out and say hello. Then she'll go into her channeled state and everything is channeled Abraham. And that's how she does things. I bounce back and forth. I will give you a channeled message and then I will come back to the very human David state and unpack it and tell you how I'm doing with it. And it's never going to be perfect. You know, the last thing I want to do is claim to be some perfect guru that's got everything figured out. I am a student of the Stream's teachings, just like anyone else who follows them. I'm just another student. I'm a little further along than everybody else. I have a 53-year head start with them, but my life isn't perfect, but my life is good. It's joyous. I'm happy. I'm healthy. I love life. I love all of humanity. I know how to view everything through the lens of source. And then I also know how to separate from that and have a very imperfect human experience. And that's why we're here.
Absolutely. I mean, I totally agree with everything you're saying. Now, when you channel messages, is there always some sort of consistent message that pops up or like the same teaching that you get over and over again from the Stream? Or is it always something a little bit different?
The differences really come from the audience. So when someone asks a really unique and interesting question, I have awareness in the moment, but a lot of times when I finish channeling, I don't remember it much when I'm done. And then sometimes it'll come back to me and sometimes I have to watch it back just like everyone else. And there are so many little aha things that come from them in that state that I would have never even thought to ask. Somebody else asked the question, they got the clarity. And then it's like, as soon as you get that clarity, it just makes perfect sense. But to answer your question, the consistent stuff is rooted in what I call the universal process of creation. And that means the universal process of creation of all things. And that universal process of creation is about the law of attraction, but the law of attraction is just a component of it. And the law of attraction is widely misunderstood because people think, well, gosh, that the law of attraction isn't real because you're not perfect. I'm bald and I ran an ad on Facebook the other day and somebody said, if law of attraction were real, you wouldn't be bald.
Oh, no.
Oh, come on. There's lots of trolls. You know, there's lots of trolls out there. And I thought it was funny. I'm like, okay, you don't really understand this, but that's cool if you think that.
Yeah. Thanks for the laugh, buddy.
Oh, it was funny. It actually was funny. I really laughed about it. So the law of attraction is misunderstood because there are books and there are a lot of things out there about it that try to lead one to believe that all you have to do is think about something and it just pops up in your front yard. And it's a lot more complex than that, obviously, because no one's living in a state of perfection. There are certainly people that have abundance financially, but then they still have problems. You know, even Jeff Bezos has problems. And when he does, we know all about them because they get plastered all over the place. So everyone has their own version of suffering and problems and lower vibrational manifestations. It's part of the earthly experience. So the consistent thing that we get from the stream is, yes, law of attraction is real. It's like gravity. It's just happening all the time. We're attracting everything that's happening in our life experience. But it's misunderstood because inevitably people will hear that and say, well, I wouldn't have attracted being abused as a child. I wouldn't have attracted cancer. Somebody on TikTok the other day just said, you know, I would have not attracted the love of my life dying suddenly of a heart attack. Well, of course not. We're not attracting just based on what we want. But how often are we singularly focused just on what we want? We're not. Our thoughts run all over the place, right? Sometimes we're thinking about things that we want. Sometimes we're thinking about things that we don't want. Sometimes we're thinking about things that we have been traumatized by that we absolutely don't want to experience again. Sometimes we're watching the news and we're fearing, you know, COVID, Delta, whatever's going on next. So that we have all of this information in our minds and we are constantly focusing on different things. And where the stream is very consistent, and I love this, this is to me the real secret to happiness is understanding vibrational flow, that we operate in this vibrational flow and we're very aware of it because our mood, our emotions are very much a reflection of our vibrational flow. And none of us are static. We're up and we're less than up. And then sometimes we're even down. And we're on this sort of roller coaster ride. And certainly some people's roller coasters are more violent than others. I get that. But we're on this up and down vibrational journey. And when we're in a great space, you know, we're joyful, we're in high vibration, we are believing our dreams, we're thinking great thoughts, we're really appreciating our lives. We're in that high vibrational, joyful place that we all want to be. But none of us are there all the time. Sometimes we're just in a little less than that. A lot of times, I think we spend time in what we like to call get it done mode. You know, you're just getting life done. You're answering emails, you're paying bills, you're cooking dinner, you're doing your work, and you're not really focused on your vibration. You're just trying to get things done. And your vibration can be in different places in that get it done mode. And if things are flowing and working well, you know that your vibration is generally higher in that state. But when things stop working and, you know, the computer program doesn't work and then the next thing doesn't work and the next thing's a frustration and then you have that, you know, period of time that nothing seems to work in your day or in your life in general, that's generally a lower vibrational period and it's natural to be there. So in what we teach, we are not teaching just get up in that higher vibrational space and be happy all the time and be joyful because it's not possible and it's not even why we're here for this experience. We teach operate your life in harmony with your natural vibrational flow. Be okay with the downflow. Be okay with the obstacles. And when you're okay with them and you're not fighting them, you'll see that they are fewer and further between and they're a lot easier to solve. So it's a magical practice that we've developed, and we call it TYA for Trust Your Abundance, T-Y-A. And abundance means whatever, it's your abundance, whatever it means to you. But the key to all of this is trust. Because if you're trusting the universe, if you're really trusting it, even when you're down, you're trusting the process. And that's the key to everything.
Hey, we're taking a quick break from the show so that I can ask you a question. Do you need a voiceover actor for your own podcast, video, commercial, or whatever project you are working on? If you've been actively looking or haven't even thought about it, look no further because guess what? Your girl here is a professionally trained voiceover actor. With all the free time on my hands COVID provided, I decided to get trained by Etch Studio in New York City to voice commercials for TV, radio, and podcasts. I've booked corporate explainer videos, guided meditations, and recently a national TV commercial. So if you're working on a project that needs a voice, let me know. Direct contact info is in the show notes of this episode. Okay, back to the show.
So is there not, like, if you're in that lower vibration, obviously, naturally, as humans, right, it's uncomfortable. We want to get out of that space. So part of the TYA practice, are you saying, is to just accept it and let it flow through? Or are there practices that we can do to help ease that pain and discomfort and get back to a higher vibrational state?
They're actually both. And I know it sounds like a, you know, kind of, okay, which one is it then? Well, being at peace with it and allowing it to flow, and think of it as this, you're sort of allowing it to flow if you choose, or you can discern a preference to gently move yourself out of it. And we do have tools that we teach to move out of it, but it's not about, because if we start fearing the lower vibration, we call it down the spiral. We talk a lot about the vibrational spiral up and down. So we'll call it DTS for down the spiral. So when we are fearing going down the spiral and not wanting to be down there, that focus on it is actually taking us there. So once you ease with the flow and move through it with ease, you can allow that to be your life experience. If your intention is to vibe generally higher, then you can move your vibrational set point up and vibe generally higher. Sort of like if you've ever seen a chart of how the stock market performs, how it's up and down, but generally it's up over 40 years, right? Your vibration can operate like that because the stock market is vibrational just like everything else. The more people pay attention to it, the more people give it power, the more people now are aware of how it operates, the vibration of the stock market has increased steadily. But it goes up and down, it fluctuates, and sometimes it plummets. It's a great example of vibrational flow in a non-physical entity, but it's driven by the collective consciousness of humanity, so it's a reflection of that. So take that and apply it to your personal life and understand that, yes, you're going to flow up and down, but you can establish a practice in your life to start sort of reprogramming your thought process so that you're generally vibing higher and higher and higher. And you're not, and part of that is not fearing the down. It's not bad. There's no obstacle that you can't overcome. It's all part of the life journey. It's okay.
I actually love that you mentioned the stock market, actually, because this is something when I'm on my ups and downs, because I'm normally, or I've had a tendency, I should say, my whole life to cling onto the ups and not want any of the downs and fear that downward spiral you were talking about. I've been working on that a lot the past few years, which has been great. But I have always thought of the stock market. It's so funny that you say that because it's so such a perfect example of when you're in the day-to-day, it feels like, oh, I'm having a good day today, or I'm having a bad day today. But hindsight's 2020, and you look back on the last few years of your life and you see how much you have grown. And so I love that example. And do you mind sharing one of your practices with people who are probably fearful of that downward spiral or are in a lower vibration currently, how to get out of that?
One of the key components of the Taya practice is, we call it detuning. A lot of people refer to it as shadow work. So I created detuning before I had ever heard of shadow work. Again, I always think I invent these things and I find out other people are getting the same stuff. But I love the confirmation. You know, it's great to get external. I don't follow other spiritual teachers. I really don't at all. And not because I don't think there's value there. I love how the stream is its own thing. And then I love that we, you know, teach in these workshops and things and answer questions. And then somebody will send me, you know, a TikTok or a video YouTube or something that parrots the same thing from another teacher. And I realize we're all tapped in and we're all getting the same clarity. Isn't that great? And of course, every teacher has their own, you know, vibrationally aligned audience. So the tool that I would say the most valuable tool for no longer fearing the dip down is that shadow, the detuning tool of finding appreciation for your transgressors. That's so powerful because the reason we don't like to go down is because when we're in that lower vibrational state, all of that nasty negative stuff comes rushing back. But as you clear out the nasty negative stuff, the low vibration experience is vastly different than it is when you have triggers, when you have transgressors. You've got to start a process if you want to do this, of really making peace with your transgressors. And don't dive into the most difficult of transgressors. I did. I sort of did the detuning naturally, but my biggest transgressor at that point was my mother. And I started with my mother, but I don't necessarily guide people to start with the biggest one because some people have massive transgressors, you know, a system of abuse, severe abuse and neglect and all sorts of things, especially from early childhood. But the detuning stuff works very, very well. And I have found that if we go back as far as we can into early childhood and look at the transgressors that were present then, we come to understand that really those first few years of life set us off on a path. And we have root transgressors that are early childhood transgressors that have continued to show up in different ways throughout our lifetime. And until we detune the root, we're probably going to see those other transgressors keep showing up. So just say you have a root of a parent who, for whatever reason, you, because of your experience with them, you felt unworthy and unloved. And you've noticed a pattern throughout your life that your friends and your romantic relationships and maybe even your children at times make you feel unworthy and unloved. Well, if you just go and try to detune the most recent version of that, like your husband, for example, if you have a husband that makes you feel unworthy and unloved, maybe he's even a little abusive, and you're trying to detune that immediate transgressor without going back into the root of it, it's still going to show up. That's why you see people, and this is just an example of people who have abusive relationships over and over and over again. They're attracting it. And I know people don't want to hear that, but they're not attracting it because they want it. They're attracting it because that trauma still exists and it's replaying in their subconscious mind over and over again. And you can hear this and say, well, that's really not fair. Well, notice that life is not fair because the universe is not judging our human experience. So therefore, the universe is delivering on our vibration. And there's evidence of that. If you really get into these teachings, there's evidence of this everywhere. It's why life isn't fair. It's why people have different experiences. It's why people get themselves stuck in these recurring situations of being broke, of being abused, of being unhealthy, whatever it is, over and I've done it. I've been there. So over and over and over again, we see the same thing reoccurring, but it's rooted somewhere. And if we think, well, gosh, I'm an adult, that happened when I was a child, that was a long time ago. Well, that's not the way our subconscious mind works. You know, that trauma is imprinted and it's playing on a loop until we detune it. My mother, for me, was a massive transgressor. You know, this woman, you know, gave birth to me, basically drove my father away, then fought for custody, and then turned right around and didn't want us. And then, you know, didn't want to deal with me as a teenager. And then I finally made peace with her. And then she disowned me for the last 20 years of her life. So a lot of transgressor there, right? A whole lot of transgressor there. So there was a whole lot to focus on that my mother was a bad person. It was awful. I would tell people that story. It never felt good to have people do that. Oh, that sympathy thing. I never liked that because I did have a different understanding of it, but still she was a transgressor. Until I went into that deep appreciation of all that experience offered for me without judgment, did I detune it? And then once I detuned it, there is no aspect of my mother or even my childhood waiting for me in that lower vibrational flow now. It just is a lower vibrational state of being.
So the key to detuning is acceptance. Is that what you're saying?
Well, there's the whole idea of radical acceptance. And my partner in life is a psychologist and he talks about radical acceptance. And I said, we're going beyond acceptance is, you know, it's like forgiveness. It's kind of like it happened. I'll get over it. It's fine. I'm talking about radical appreciation. We're moving all the way into, I had the very best, and it's not bypassing either. It's literal, authentic. I know my mother was the best mother for me because of her, I am able to do what I do today and have this level of clarity. And all of these human rules that we're told to follow, if you start really focusing on your eternal self, your spiritual self, all of those human teachings and rules start to sort of just dissipate. Like the idea that your mother is supposed to love you unconditionally. Well, who says? Freeman said your parents owe you your entry to the world as a vibrational alignment, and that's it. Everything else from there is how you react as an independent strand of consciousness to your surroundings. And I find that to be very true because there are people who have very loving, caring parents who still don't have great relationships with their parents or still don't have great life experiences from the human judgment of what their life's supposed to be. So if we get rid of all that stuff and stop having all these expectations of you know, what life is supposed to be, it's very freeing. So we detune all of that stuff. And when you detune all of that stuff, your lower vibrational flow just becomes sort of a lower energy period. And you learn what to do and what not to do when you're down there. And then you move through that. Polarity took you there in the first place. It's going to take you right back up. So that's a big part of the Taya practice is detuning transgressors and know that transgressors will continue to pop up throughout your lifetime because we're in this vibrational flow. But now I've gotten to a point where I've cleared out enough of my transgressors that when I find something triggering me, I love it. I love to explore, why did that trigger me that way? What is that? And the first thing I do is do some breath work, meditation, get my vibration back up. And then I want to dig into it. If you have a moment, I'll give you an example of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm in the United States and back, and I think you are too, right?
Yes.
Back in January, we had this invasion of our capital, right? I'm not going into a whole political thing. I'm just saying that our capital was invaded and I was, you know, working at my desk and I saw that was happening and I was flipping between these two different news sites, very different news sites, I'll leave it at that, just to get the perspective on it. And I found myself being very triggered by the invasion. That shouldn't be. This is wrong. I can't believe this is happening in my car. All that stuff was coming up. And then I have this little thing that I love called a stopgap. And that my stopgap is I stop and ask myself, is this worth going down in vibration over? And my answer is generally no. So I can catch myself now, right? It takes practice to get there, but I can. And I put my phone down and I left the room and I went and did a meditation. I breath work, clearing my mind as much as I can. And then that clarity of source washed over me that, why am I judging that? The people that are doing that, they are operating in their bubble of reality. They are fearing something that's motivating them to take an action that they believe is right. And all of these other people that are, you know, freaking out about it on Facebook right now, they are right in their reaction to it. So there's no right or wrong in any of this. And if I remove the judgment of it and I remove the right or wrong, it's just people having an experience. And it's not impacting me because I don't give that much power to politics anyway in my life. I've taught myself that lesson. So why am I even upset? Why am I triggered? And then it dawned on me that this clarity popped in that I still had this vibrational need for justice. When that showed up, I was like, why do I need justice? Why do I need justice for something that isn't even directly impacting me? Why do I need justice for anything? If I'm not judging and I'm seeing it through the lens of source, which is non-judgmental, then I don't need justice. It just is. And I have to tell you, after that, I detuned that. I'm like, I don't need justice. I just really came to terms and I detuned it in the moment. And then, of course, in the days after that, I live in Palm Springs, California, very liberal area of the world. And you know, I'm out to dinner and everybody's just going on and on and on about how awful it was and they all need to be executed and, you know, the president behind all this stuff. And I just sat there not invested in it. And I noticed that I'm just at such peace right now. And then the more at peace I was, I noticed the conversation just died down and it stopped and we moved on to other topics. My reality changed around me because I had detuned the topic. And I never paid attention. I couldn't even tell you what's going on with all that now. And what are we, 7-8 months later? I could not begin to tell you anything about that because I've completely disconnected from it. And it's just not part of my reality. And someone may say, well, it needs to be part of your reality, but why? I don't have to play by any set of rules that I don't want to play by. So that is an example of detuning a trigger that pops up that takes your vibe down. And then I loved doing it so much that I was flying high after that.
I love, David, that you brought up just like this whole concept of we hold the power to our thoughts, to our perspectives on how we view life and the reality that we create for ourselves. And I loved what you said, that you give yourself a gap, a moment in time of doubting your reactiveness and saying, do I want to choose the lower vibration right now, or do I want to choose the higher vibration? And instead of reacting and instantly going into that lower vibration, you're giving yourself a choice and you're essentially giving your power back to yourself to make a different decision that will, at the end of the day, better serve you. I think that is tremendously powerful.
Yeah, I have spent the last almost 4 years now working with people all over the world, teaching them these techniques. And it's amazing the things that people can detune and move beyond. And I know a lot of times people hear this and it's new and it sounds crazy. I couldn't do this. My thing is so traumatic. I was so traumatized that I could never get over it. I understand that. When you first hear it, I totally understand that it sounds a little out there for a lot of people. But I have, in my experience now, worked with people who have experienced the very worst things you can imagine experience, the murder of a child, you know, the being abducted and tortured, all kinds of things that I have witnessed people detune and move through in appreciation. Believe it or not, it works. And it's very transformative when you allow yourself to do it.
Wow. I mean, it's something too, because I think we're all so narrow-minded and tunnel-visioned sometimes. And I think it's so easy for us to think that we can't change and that we're static. When if you look at life in general and vibrations and energy, everything is in constant motion and everything is changing. And I think it's important to prove to ourselves how it is possible for us to change, even with the small things. And I'll give you a brief example in my own personal life. For the past probably 10 years, at least, of my life, I have told myself that I don't like reading fiction books. And I think it's a waste of time. And I haven't read a fiction book since elementary school. Like, this entire script and story I was writing around this whole fact that I don't read fiction. And then my fiance's sister recommended to me a few months ago this new book series that blew up on TikTok. And I was like, why not? Let me try it. You know, it's COVID. I've got more free time on my hands. I'll try it. And I am on the last book of this entire series, and I'm like flying through these 700-page books within like a matter of like months. And a year ago, I never thought that would have been possible. And I was so like stuck in my way of, I don't read fiction books. Like, I'm standing my ground. This is who I am. I'm not going to change. But I think it's like reminding ourselves of little things like that, that it is possible for us to change if we choose to and if we take action towards that change. And I think the little changes snowball into a big change.
Well, and you think about it, reading fiction, and I am, I weave in and out. Sometimes I read a lot of fiction, sometimes I just don't. But you're using your creative mind to complete this picture. And that's why people love reading so much. So there's never going to be anything wrong, certainly, with exercising your creative mind, right? But you're right, dialing into the vibration of something. And everything is vibrational. Everything is energetic. So anything that we want to do, we have the ability to dial into the vibration of it. Now, we may not be the very best at it if someone's been in that vibration, you know, for their entire life. You know, we're not going to go suddenly be in the Olympics for something just because I could dial into the vibration of being a gymnast, but my body is going to disagree with that at this point, right? So, but we can. I have dialed into the vibration of writing. I did not get past the 10th grade. I got out of high school with a GED, and I am a very self-taught person, and I've written a couple of books now. And my books don't need a ton of editing. And I certainly don't hire a ghostwriter. I didn't realize most people don't even write their own books. They hire ghostwriters. I didn't know that. You know, I took all that time writing my own book only to find out so many people hire ghostwriters. But I didn't do that. I wrote my own book. And I dialed into the vibration of being a writer to be able to do that. And the podcast thing for me, it's very daunting in the beginning, right, to start a podcast. And now I can do it blindfolded because I dialed into the vibration and I learned it and I gave it power. And I suddenly started absorbing all the information. So we do that. We dial into the vibration of driving a car, and it seems like we're going to, you know, kill ourselves the first time we do it. And then suddenly we're jumping in a car and driving all over the place like it's nothing. It's on autopilot almost. So we can do that on any topic. We can dial to the vibration for the change that we want to see and be in that flow. Absolutely. I love that you brought that up.
Yeah. I mean, that's the energy I'm getting from our conversation today, is just this feeling of empowerment and power, that if you dedicate the power and the energy to the life that you want to live and the person that you want to become, it is possible with practice and with dedication. David, I have absolutely loved chatting with you today. You are just a stream of wisdom, and you have really opened my eyes up to different perspectives on things. And I hope my listeners agree with that as well. And I really appreciate you coming on the show today. And before I let you go, I have one more question for you. And that is, how do you, David, cultivate curiosity in your life?
I'm a naturally curious person. So the idea of cultivating it is kind of interesting to me. I love the pursuit of, I don't know that, and I want to know that. I want to, the stream says, and what I channel is called the stream says we're all filtration systems for the earth environment. And I want to absorb as much into my filtration system as possible while I'm here. So that desire to absorb and experience and then discern whether it's something I'm interested in or not, but to learn. I love Google. Gosh, what a time we live in that we can Google anything and learn more about it instantly. You know, when I was a kid, we had a shelf full of encyclopedias that were dusty, and that was the best you got. now you've got Google, which is amazing. So yes, that natural curiosity, the cultivation of it for me is just a way of life. Believing I can learn more, believing I'm worthy of knowing more, and loving the idea of absorbing the environment and filtering it through my experience. I love it. It's a great question.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Cultivating Curiosity podcast. If you enjoyed it, can you please do your girl a favor and leave me a review? Also, don't forget to follow this show on your platform of choice so that you are the first to know when a new episode is released. Until next time, stay curious.